Well, hello and welcome to the C3 Reflect podcast. My name is Sats. It's so great to have you with us. Maybe you're tuning in for the first time. A massive welcome to you. Maybe a friend has directed you over here. That's awesome. Or maybe you are a regular old school listener. We appreciate you being part of all that we're doing. And our prayer with all of this content is that it would be helpful, it would encourage you, and ultimately would enable you to flourish as a human being. Isn't that God's vision for each and every one of us? And yet life is complex and there's lots of nuance happening. And so in all of these messages, we're trying to dig into the thoughts of God that we can understand better how to flourish and how to succeed and fulfill our purpose in life. So let us know how we're doing. You can rate and you can review. And of course, please subscribe so that we can stay connected. Let's go to the message now. Well, hey there, Sats here. I hope you're doing very well, and it's great to be hanging out. Thanks for joining us at today's service at C3 Reflect. If you are brand new, checking us out, stumbled across us on the internet, please hit subscribe so that we can stay connected. And if you want to take the next step, go a little bit further to really get to hang out, then jump on our mailing list. We put out tons of intel throughout the week, and it's really our primary way of communicating. So go to c3reflect.church/connect and you can jump on that so we can stay connected, which we'd like, so feel free. That'll be cool. And you are joining us in our Dream Builder series. Actually, we're in week 12. This is the very last week of the series, and I hope you've enjoyed it so far. We've been talking about building the dream that God has put in our hearts. I believe that God has put a purpose over your life. There's not a human being that I've met that doesn't have a purpose. Doesn't have a gift, doesn't have a unique contribution to make. And I think it's important to say, which is why I keep saying it every single week, because many of us don't feel like that. Many of us feel like, who am I? What do I matter? I'm here to tell you today that you do matter, and that you have a purpose, and you're created by God. You're not just a collection of random atoms floating around the universe. This is not a coincidence. God is speaking to you. He is on your case. He does love you, and you exist for a reason. And we've been talking about that, talking about the dreams on our heart that God has given us to outwork. It would be strange for God to give us dreams that he didn't want us to do. You know, just to kind of toy with our emotions. I mean, that would be weird. No, God has given you dreams, and he's given you gifts, and he's given you things that you're good at so that you can do those things. And if we can get our heart in the right place and purify and sanctify ourselves and cleanse ourselves and figure out the mechanics of purpose and of life, then we're going to find that actually we're going to be able to build the dream. And we've been talking about this tension because, you know, some people do just go after the career and go after the thing so almost obsessively that they neglect the rest of their life. And I know that God wants us to last to the end. He wants us to do it without compromise. He wants us to do it in a healthy way. And that extreme can sometimes be not good. The other extreme is a bunch of Christians who are just kind of stuck in their bubble and they never really kind of go out there and do anything. And I just know that God wants us to be planted in a church. He wants us to find community, get taught, get challenged, get equipped with the Holy Spirit, but ultimately to be sent, to be released into our purpose. And if we can hold those two things together, to be a part of something that is bigger than just me, that's great for my mental health. It's great for my emotional calibration to be a part of something that's not just about me, that's not just selfish ambition, but is actually about serving the world. We're going to find that when the dream comes from that place, it's going to be much healthier and much better, and the contribution to our world is going to be much better for everyone. And so mature Christianity is holding those two things, the wider vision, being a part of a church community, and also having a dream on our heart to run with, to build something. And we're in week 12 now, so we're coming towards the end of this series, and I wanted to finish on just a really important message, and it's called this, How to Build an Altar. And I wanted to deal with this question around success. I know that definitely many of us will have seen some element of success as we have put our hand to the plow over the last 12 weeks and we've stepped out and we've started things and we've taken steps and we've prayed for things and we've reached out and all of the things that we've been talking about. And so, you know, we're faced with this really interesting human phenomenon, which is, you know, human beings all the way through human history, and particularly when you read the scripture, we see that they're not very good with success. In fact, we seem to do better when life is tough, which is just weird because I don't know about you, but I prefer life to not be tough. But it just seems that when life is tough, we press into God. We stir our faith. We call out to God We pray more. We press in and we look to Him. And then what happens is God rocks up and He brings deliverance. He brings help. He blesses what we do. As we submit ourselves to Him, as we humble ourselves before Him, He begins to exalt us. And there's this kind of circle that happens because as success comes, it gets easier to forget about God. We begin to enjoy the blessing, go, oh, this is kind of nice. I'm kind of doing all right. And so we kind of just take the foot off the accelerator in terms of our spiritual discipline because we're enjoying and basking a little bit in our success. And then there's a circle and it continues again. And I believe what God wants us to do is not just have one moment of success, but the success would actually continue. And so whatever success you've seen over these 12 weeks, can I just encourage you that God wants you to figure out how this success would actually continue? And the way He does that is by encouraging us to build altars. He creates opportunities for us to build an altar. And an altar is like a test. It's a test of our success. Where are we going to honor Him? Are we going to recognize and acknowledge that it's His blessing? Or are we going to kind of, you know, hold on to the claim to fame ourselves? So, well, we kind of did this. And, you know, when we tell the story about what God did, how much of it is us and how much of it is Him? And of course, we're supposed to be in the mix. We're supposed to work hard and God wants to use you. But we understand that He is the one who blesses us. He is the creator. He is God. And all of our success comes from Him. And so if we can figure that out today, I believe God can really continue to keep blessing us in 2023. Because although we spent 12 weeks on building the dream, I mean, who knows, we're just getting started. And my prayer has been that this series would be like a catalyst to dreaming again, after a couple of years of our imagination being squashed due to the pandemic, being stuck at home, not being able to go places, losing autonomy and all of those things. This has been like a wake-up call to faith, to imagination, to boldness, to go and to dream and to build and to make and to do the things that we feel called to do and not put off and not wait any longer to build the dream. So in today's message, at the end of the message, we're going to be creating an opportunity for an altar. And we're going to give you an opportunity to give an offering to God. And it's just going to be like a line in the sand as part of this message and as part of this thought around success. So just giving you a heads up so you can prayerfully consider what that could look like for you. I'm just going to set some framework for that in the rest of the message. So I want to go today to Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1 to 18 is quite a long passage of scripture, and it's a crazy passage of scripture. I mean, gosh, if there is some stuff that messes with you a bit theologically, this will do it. And it's the story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac. I mean, this is crazy stuff right here. And so we'll read the whole thing because I think it's important too. But then we're going to need to deal with some of the things that come first of all to mind. But really, this is the test. This whole story is a test of Abraham's success. What is he going to do in success? See, Abraham is the guy who his whole life he's been believing for a child. He's been believing for an heir, believing for a son. And nothing's working. You know, they're childless, him and Sarah. And if you know anyone or you've walked through a season like that in your life, you'll know that's an incredibly difficult thing to walk through. And Abraham spent his whole life walking through that season, and he's been faithful to God, and he's served Him, and he's been obedient, and he's submitted to Him, and it's just like, and God has been promising it his whole life. It's going to come. This is going to happen. And Abram just keeps on moving, keeps on walking, keeps on obeying, even in his disappointment, even in his frustration, even in his anger. And eventually the child comes, Isaac, the child of the promise. And I don't know about you, but I can imagine if I was Abraham, you would kind of be like wrapping Isaac up in like cotton wool. You know, he'd have like the best food and he'd never take him outside. Lots of moisturizer. I don't know. You'd be looking after that kid like so carefully because he is the child of promise. You spent your whole life believing for this kid. Isaac is the very definition of success as far as Abraham is concerned. So this is what God says to Abraham. He says this in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham. There it is. There's the test of success. And said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I mean, that's wild right there. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose, went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place from afar, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. Then he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing if you have not withheld your son, your only son, the greatest success of your life, you have not withheld it from me. Oh, I've lost my place. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, verse 13, and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went, took the ram, offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Okay, this is epic. And there's a couple of things we're going to address before we can continue with this message, because it's hard not to read that and have a lot of questions about what's going on. First of all, we need to understand that clearly God had no intention of any harm happening to Isaac. That's important to say. Clearly, God is in control and he was going to make sure all was cool. Having said that, there's still a massive question about the whole process of what that would look like for Isaac. One of the things I realized as I've been reading this is that the translations say a couple of different things. If you look in your footnotes where it says boy, referring to Isaac, it also says young man. And there's a lot of debate about how old Isaac actually is. We've got a couple of clues that we can see from the scripture. One is the conversation that Isaac has with Abraham. So that tells us something about his age. He's not super, super young. He's got some sense of what's going on, what a sacrifice and an altar should look like. And the second thing is the fact that Abraham is carrying the fire and the knife, and Isaac is carrying all of the wood. Okay, so that's really important for us to understand, because it shows us that Isaac has got a reasonable amount of strength. And so it's probably much more likely that Isaac is not a young kid. He's at the very least a teenager, probably in his 20s, maybe even in his 30s. We don't know for certain. But what I think is pretty clear is that if Isaac wanted to resist Abraham, he could have. Abraham's like ancient. You know, this guy's been around for a long time. You've got this young kid, this young guy. If he wanted to resist what was happening, he could have resisted. But it seems to me that Isaac has willingly gone along with what has happened. He's not a victim of this story. He's actually a volunteer. And we might be thinking, well, what's going on there? When we read in Hebrews, which talks back about this incident, it says that Abraham had full confidence that God was actually able to raise Isaac from the dead. So Abraham is going into this scenario knowing that Isaac is the child of the promise, knowing that God is the provider, knowing that God is the one who has given him his success. And he knows that even if Isaac dies, God will be able to raise him up. That's what he's expecting to happen. Now, we don't know this for certain, but I think my feeling is that Abraham would have told Isaac that. You know, how are you going to persuade your kid to voluntarily go through with this? Well, I say, look, this is what's going to happen. You're the child of the promise. God is faithful. And Abraham's faith in God was enough for Isaac to also place his faith in God. The other thing we need to understand about this story is it's actually quite a phenomenal foreshadowing of Christ. And we've got all these parallels of what's taking place right here. Abraham's only son. And of course, Jesus, we know, is God's only son. Isaac carries the wood for the altar on his back. They're gone for 3 days. Are you starting to pick up? Jesus carries the wooden cross on his back, the very thing that he would be killed upon. And so we're seeing these parallels and this foreshadowing of what Christ would do. And so it makes sense that Isaac went willingly because Jesus also willingly went to the cross. No one forced Jesus to the cross. He chose to go and he offered up his life as a sacrifice. Not only that, but Jesus submitted to his Father. If you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane where he's praying, just before he goes to the cross, and he says, "Not my will be done, but your will, Father." And he submits to the will of the Father. And right here we see that Isaac submits to the will of his Father in offering up his life. So this is a very different story when you understand that Isaac is not a victim. He's actually a volunteer. He's not necessarily a young child. He's probably most likely a young man. And so it totally changes the dynamic. So it's important for us to say that. And so we've got this whole thing, which is some sort of test, but it's also some sort of poetic storytelling that God is using in the wider meta-narrative of Scripture. So I don't believe this is an event that is going to recur. I don't believe God is ever going to ask us to do something like that. And I just think this is a one-off specific moment in Scripture that we can learn from today. And so what we see at the end is in this moment where Abraham is able to let go of his success. See, this is the tension, isn't it? When human beings succeed, we get attached to success. We already know that money has power and it has the capacity to corrupt us. And so our success, our money, there's power attached to it. And so we frequently have to choose in our success to build an altar to make sure that our faith is proven genuine. Why? Why does God need to test that? That's the question. Why can't God just leave us alone, like, cool, well done, enjoy your success? Well, we see the answer right at the end there where God commands a blessing, not just over Abraham's life, but over his offspring. See, this is what we need to understand is God doesn't just want to bless you once. I think sometimes we've got such a small vision about what God wants to do. We're just looking to here and now. God, just help me make rent. God, just help me get that thing for Christmas. God, just help me figure out this thing for this moment. God, help me save up for holiday. God, help me save up this debt. And these are all good things to be believing God for and to be working towards. But we need to understand this, is that God's vision is so much bigger than us. God's dream is like the dream. All of our dreams contribute to what he is trying to do. And God actually wants his blessing not just to rest on a single generation, not just to be in a single moment, but he wants his blessing to be exponential in your life, overflowing from generation to generation, overflowing from not just the present, but into your future. And the only way that can happen is if our heart is in the right place. And if we don't get so attached to the blessing that we forget about the one who blessed us, that's God himself. And so God tests Abraham. Why? Because Abraham's just looking at his son. Abraham doesn't care too much about, you know, the future of the generations. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know about the people of Israel. He doesn't know about Jesus, who in whom all nations are going to be blessed. He's not necessarily looking that far ahead. Why would he? He's got his son. He's just reached the pinnacle of success. But God is looking bigger. And I want to speak that over your life right now, because some of us are just looking so short term. But we need to understand that the blessing of God is much greater than you can realize. If we can pass the test, if we can submit ourselves to God, if we can build an altar and recognize that he is God and he is Lord and he is Jehovah Jireh, he is the provider, he is the king who owns everything in this world, we're actually going to see that success is going to flow. And that's why, as we close this series, I want us to understand that God wants to bless you so much more than you realize. That it's not just about 12 weeks, but it's about the next 12 years. It's about the next 12 generations and what God can do when we build an altar. See, success tempts us to feel like we did this. You know, there's actually two kind of altars, two sacrifices that take place in the story. And one of them, of course, is with Abraham. You see, I think there may be people watching today and tuning in today, and you've served God faithfully. Abraham at this point in the scripture is pretty old. It's towards the end of his life. And he's been faithful. He's served God. And I see people here right now, you've been faithful. you've served God, you've made sacrifices, you've done the right thing, you've turned the other cheek, you've been through suffering, you've been tested already. You've been through a lot, and yet here you are today. You know, one of the greatest difficulties for us as mature Christians is the temptation to stop. Because when we reach a point where we know we've done good, we've been good and faithful servants, we've continued, and it comes to moments like this, it's easy. The greatest temptation for us as mature believers is to settle with a little bit of entitlement. You know, like, God, we look at all this stuff we've done for you. We've been so busy on your behalf, and I'm grateful for the blessing. I just want to stay in this place of blessing. But I want to encourage you today, because I believe that God wants to do even more than you can ask, think, or imagine. And in this moment, see, Abraham built another altar. He didn't stop. I've got everything that I want. I've reached the pinnacle of what my life is going to be about. No, he decided, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to build an altar. And the second type of altar that we see in this story is actually, you know, for Isaac. You know, Isaac is towards the start of his life. His whole future stretches out ahead of him. Maybe there's people here today and you are new to faith, new to following Jesus, new coming back to church. You're young. You've got your life ahead of you. And I love that Isaac was willing to entrust his entire life to God and to say, hey, in this moment, I commit myself to you, knowing with full assurance that you are going to bless my life. Every single one of us needs to have an Abraham moment where we don't settle and we keep going. We don't get weary of doing good, but we keep sowing, we keep believing, we keep obeying. And every single one of us needs to have Isaac moments where we allow God into our future and we say, God, I trust you. I trust that you are going to bless me. Because why? Because God doesn't want success just to be a one moment thing, a one generation thing. He wants it to be exponential, spilling out from generation to generation, that the nations would be blessed because of you and I creating altars in our life. So I want to create a moment, just in a few moments, where we're going to have a chance to give and create an altar just personally. But I just want to give you three keys just to help figure that out. And the first thing is this, is to hear God. You know, I love that Abraham responded to what God was saying. And that's really important. When we come to moments like this, I don't want to tell you what to do. I want to create an opportunity. I want you to hear from God. What does getting involved in today's altar look like for you? I believe that the Holy Spirit can be speaking to you right now. If you just ask him, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Abraham did what God asked him to do. So when God said go, he went. When God says stop, he stopped. And the second thing is this, is you want to be quick to obey. You know, there are moments where you hear God say something to you and you just think, well, I might just ignore that one for a moment, see if it comes back. I feel like if I was Abraham, this could have been one of those moments. Okay, I think I've heard you, Lord, but I'll just sleep on it. Maybe just chat to the wife, maybe just figure this out and then come back. But no, it says that early the next morning, Abraham straight out the gate, he's going on this journey and he's made the decision, I'm going to be quick to obey. I sometimes pray for people and I like to sometimes send them a voice memo. If I get a picture, something encouraging for them, I'll just drop them a quick voice memo. And this very week, I just had a kind of thought as I was praying for a friend and dropped them that voice memo. And to be honest, I was like, I don't know if this is from God. I think I could be making this up, but I'll just send it. I'll just send it anyway. I don't really know. I'm just going to be quick to obey. And call me later, said, hey, Tess, that was so helpful. I really encouraged me. And I just know if I had waited another day or 2 days, the feeling of like immediacy would have worn off and I would have gone, I don't know. I would have talked myself out of obedience. There's something about obedience that needs a quickness to obey. So my encouragement for you is hear the voice of God. What is God telling you to do? What does an altar look like for you right now? And secondly, be quick. Don't overthink this too much. Hear from God. Allow God to speak to you about what is right for you and then be quick to obey. And the third thing is simply this, is that there's always a cost. You know, Abraham traveled for 3 days. This wasn't like a quick event. He prepared wood. They carried all of the gear. And then, of course, you've got the actual cost of the sacrifice itself. There's always a cost. And God designs it in this way. Jesus says that he's pruning us. He says, I want you to abide in me, but if you bear fruit, I'm going to prune you. Why? It's like, God, I just bought fruit. Like, leave me alone for a bit. I'm succeeding. Life is going well. But Jesus is like, no, it's really important. We keep pruning, we stay healthy, we stay on the edge, and we don't settle, we don't get weary, but we keep going. And this is the power of building altars, moments where we acknowledge and we honor God. And we say, God, this is all because of you. This wasn't me. This was your blessing. This was your favor. This was your goodness. Come on, as we lift our eyes and we look around and we see. And just the last thought for us today, as we head into this moment, we're going to take up an offering, build an altar, is just this beautiful thing with the ram in the thicket. You know, it says there that you know, God says, Abraham, chill out, don't just stop now. And Abraham lifted his eyes. This is a really interesting expression. He lifted his eyes. It's almost like he is seeing something that God is showing to him. And it says that the ram is in a thicket behind him. You know, so he wasn't searching everywhere, trying to figure out where it was. You know, where is the success? Where is the provision? Where is the thing that I need? No, God actually revealed the moment that Abraham listened to God, the moment that Abraham had been tested. Do you know what happens? He began to see the provision. See, the ram was probably there for a long time. The ram was probably there through the whole sort of drama. I don't know. It could have been there for a very long time. Just stuck in a thicket that God had provided and revealed to Abraham in the very moment that Abraham was tested. See, when we can trust God, and that's where we get our famous expression, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider, the Lord will provide. Abraham says that knowing that God always had a plan. And I believe over our lives today, there are things that will open up. And there's provision that will open up, and there is future blessing and future success that will open up when we demonstrate that we are people that God can trust to obey him, to hear his voice, to be quick to obey, and to count the cost, and yet to follow him and believe not just for success and blessing just in one generation, in one moment, but exponential. I believe, oh, I'm so excited about what God is going to do in our church. And what God is going to open up in your future and in all of our futures as we see the blessing of God, not just for us, not just for the church, but actually flowing into our world. This is part of God's design. We're supposed to be here commanding a blessing into our world. The reason God wants you to succeed and God wants you to increase and God wants you to go further is not just about us. It's about being a blessing into this world. Abraham had no idea what was going to flow from his life. Maybe he had a sense, maybe he had a prophetic sort of image of something of the future, but the detail, oh my gosh, so much detail there that he had no idea about that has transpired because of his obedience to God. So I'd love to just create a moment right now and invite you to consider being a part of this altar call right now as we take up an offering. And we don't do this very often. So it really is a one-off opportunity to engage. And so what you can do is prayerfully consider, take a few moments, ask the Holy Spirit, what does that look like for me today? And then you can go to our website. You can go to the Dream Builders page, c3reflect.church/dreambuilders, and just click on the button there to be a part of today, or just go straight to our giving page, which you can go to as well. I'll just give you a few moments and I'll pray for you just as we close today. God, I thank you so much for every person who's been a part of this series. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And so, God, we pray, God, that that would be true. God, as we continue to stay humble and acknowledge and honor you, God, in this altar call moment, I pray, God, that your blessing would be released, God, for the future. God, the past was good, yesterday was good, but God, we declare it's a new day. And as we step into 2023, God, we want to step in with the full assurance and confidence in you as our provider and our source. God, we know that you are the one who blesses us. God, we love you more than the stuff you give us. We love your heart more than your hand, but we thank you so much. We're your children, we're part of your family, and so we build an altar today, believing for a great future as we finish this series in the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for being a part of today and of this series. We'll see you next week.
thanks for listening today. I hope this has been helpful and encouraging. I'm also wondering if there's someone in your world who might benefit from hearing this message, then please do share it with them. Help us get the word out there. And of course, you can connect with us on social media, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and so on. Just look for C3 Reflect. For anything else, go to our website, c3reflect.church. Do hit subscribe, rate, and review. Thanks so much. We appreciate you guys. Have a great day.